Again, we're still on the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And today I have two verses that I will read as my text. The first is Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then also 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. The title of my message to you this morning is Slow to Distress, Apt to Bless. And as I was working on the sermon this week, sometimes strange things come into my head while I'm, because you're trying to think of different things. And I thought of this song that was played at a dance when I was in high school. And it's the name of it is Born to be Wild. And not at that time, but as I was thinking about it during my preparation for sermons, I thought, this song, when they played it, it really wasn't a dancing song. It was more of, let's break something song. And I thought, and I was thinking of it in relation to this sermon, I thought, well, Born to be Wild is kind of true when you think of our sin nature. And then I actually looked it up on the internet, and some of the lyrics are even theologically correct, because it says, like a true nature's child, we were born to be wild. And if we were born into sin, yes, we were born that way. We were born in this nasty, I want my way type of way. And I thought, oh, how does this relate to this sermon? Born again to be long-suffering and kind. I wish I could sing that like that. Born again to be long-suffering and kind. It's a totally different... It would be a totally different song. You wouldn't feel like breaking anything with that song. You'd want to hug somebody. You'd want to, you know, or buy somebody a gift or something. You know, it's a whole different thing. And we are changed when we are born again. And that fruit of the Spirit comes in relation to the new birth. And this is my first point. The fruit of the Spirit characteristics, not just long-suffering and kind, but actually all of them are also new birth characteristics. We've inherited them, and we inherit them from our Heavenly Father. Our Christ as our brother has these characteristics, and they're to be characteristics of us as Christians. But being long-suffering, which the Greek word is makrothumia, which means long to get hot. These are God's attributes. These are things that are true we see of God. We see in the Old Testament, Moses had asked God to show himself to him. And Moses didn't see God's face, but God passed by him while Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock. And as he passed, it says in Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. One of those attributes of God is that He is long-suffering, meaning He's long to get hot. We see the same in Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy. Being long to get hot, though, doesn't mean that God never gets angry. And we see this throughout Scripture. God definitely does get angry with sinners. And this is an important thing to know. We see in 2 Peter 3:9-10, it says, and it's actually talking about, well, why hasn't Christ come yet? And that's the question. And they're saying, oh, He's never going to come. It's the same. It's always been the same. And if they were saying it at that time, how much more do they say it now? And sinners think, well, God's not going to judge us. It's never going to happen. And so in In 2 Peter 3:9 and 10, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." What a dreadful day that'll be. Especially if you don't know the Lord. And the Lord says in Scripture, He is long to get hot. That's literally what that word means. But doesn't mean He will never get hot. And it's interesting that heat, the whole universe, at least if we take that verse literally, will be burned up. Our earth will be burned up. Obviously, we'll have a new heaven and a new earth for believers. But since God tells us He will burn the elements with a fervent heat, you better believe He's capable of righteous wrath and anger. And that's what that is talking about. It's talking about God's righteous wrath. God's long-suffering nature seems to be in balance, I'd say, with His righteous wrath against sin. And when we have long-suffering in our nature, it must also be in balance with the godly hatred of sin. Ungodly fake preachers, and I've heard this before. I was once in a denomination that was liberal where most of the preachers didn't believe in the Bible, and they'd like to point to God, or especially to Jesus, in times that they were angry, you know, God causing the flood, or Jesus driving the people out of the temple with His whip. And they'd point at that verse and they'd assume a fake righteousness for themselves, because they would never get angry like that. But they point to Jesus. And that verse in chapter in John 2 says, "And He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When He had made a whip of cords, He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And He poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And He said to those who sold dove, 'Take these things away. Do not make My Father's house a house of merchandise.'" And I guarantee you, Jesus showed some anger at that point. He was turning over tables. He was chasing them out with a whip. And it was a righteous, sinless anger. There are people that told us, Jesus was wrong to do that. There's a point. See, Jesus sinned. He was just a man. And no, he never did sin. He was right to do what He did. And we're wrong if we withhold anger when there's great sin committed against our God. When we don't challenge those things, or at least when we don't feel it. And yet also, the opposite is wrong. Sometimes people are angry all the time, and They excuse themselves. I'm being righteously angry, just like Jesus. Well, you can be wrong either way. And the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. The Spirit is patient. This means long-suffering means long to get hot. You don't easily lose your temper is what it means. And so we see that here. Additionally, I'm covering two of these fruits of the Spirit, or two aspects. If you say the fruit is one fruit and these are different aspects, being kind is also a fruit which we inherit from our Heavenly Father. When we are born again, in fact, all the fruits of the Spirit are evidence that we are God's good children. We are born again. And these things are evidence of that. In Joel 2:13, it says, "So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness." There you see both of those together again. These should be motives for us to repent, to turn back to God. Why? Because He's very patient, and He's been patient with everyone in here. Whatever sin we've committed, And we've committed sins. He's been patient with us, and He's given us time to repent, time to turn around. And everyone who's alive, not just here, but in the world, they still have time to repent. They still have time to turn around. That's what that verse is saying, because He's of slow of anger and of great kindness. He's kind to all of us. He's given us our life. He's given us whatever food, whatever job we have, whatever we have in this world, our friends, our families, we have because God has been kind to us. Now you may say, well, you don't know my friends or you don't know my life. It's better than hell. That's what we deserve is hell. And whatever kindness we have is because of Him. But as newborn, 1 John 1, I mean, says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. If we're born again, we're born of God. We are new creatures, as Paul said. And we should have the characteristics then of God. In 1 John, John, the same writer, says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the children of God. We are, if we are believers, we are the children of God. And that's why we should have the fruit of the Spirit, because the Spirit is also God Himself too. And so we should expect that we would be kind, that we would be long-suffering, that we would have characteristics of our Heavenly Father. In Ephesians 5:1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Just as a child would imitate his father or his mother, they see daddy doing something and they want to do the same thing. We should be imitators of God as dear children, wanting to imitate our Heavenly Father in His goodness, in His long-suffering, in His kindness. These two fruits I treat together also because not only are they fruits of the Spirit, which is, I guess, separate from love, because love is a separate fruit of the Spirit, but they are also the first characteristics of love. When we read about love in 1 Corinthians 13, the same writer who wrote Galatians writes, love suffers long and is kind. And so you see the same two in Galatians, they're fruits of the Spirit, but here in 1 Corinthians, they're characteristics of love. And just as love can be and often is distorted into lust, and it becomes a fleshly thing, it becomes an ungodly thing because of our sin, the devil can also distort long-suffering and kindness. He can distort all these fruits of the Spirit into his own kind of long-suffering or kindness. As it says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Galatians 5:17. These are the works of the flesh, which are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, long-suffering, or patience with sin, has been changed in our culture to a kind of tolerance for sin, which is a totally different thing. We're supposed to be long-suffering, meaning patient with the sinner. We keep trying with them. We keep loving them. We keep trying to bring them to Christ. But the world says, the lust of the flesh says, it means not long-suffering. It means tolerance. It means you have to accept that sin. And those same preachers in that old church I was in, they loved this verse, these passages. This passage in John 8, if you remember, the woman is caught in adultery. And it's interesting, only the woman is caught. So these men were dirty guys. I mean, if you caught the woman in the very act of adultery, wasn't there a man there in the act of adultery too? So they caught just the woman. And they brought her before Jesus. And they asked him what they should do, whether they should stone him or not stone him. And if you know the story, Jesus was writing something in the sand, and we don't know what he was writing in the sand. But I think it might have been, he might have been writing down some of those men's sins because he knew their hearts. But we don't know. That's just conjecture. But then he asked them all, whoever has not sinned, cast the first stone. And what happens there? They all drop their stones. And the people I've heard, the tolerant people say, see that, Christians? Look what Jesus did. That means every sin is okay. That means homosexuality is okay. That means adultery is okay. That means you can do whatever you want. That's what Christ is preaching. And yet the passage says at the end, he says to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Those are important verses. He tells her, yes, I've forgiven you. Yes, your sins are covered. Jesus knew he was going to die for this woman. And yet he tells her, go and sin no more. That's very different than the tolerant, go and sin some more and more and more and more. Sin all you want, because we, Jesus, loves sinners and he wants you to sin to your max. And that's the message of the world. That's a distortion. It almost sounds the same. Go and sin no more. Go and sin some more. It almost sounds the same, but it's a very different thing. And so we have to remember that when we're being long-suffering, it doesn't mean that we need to accept all sorts of sin and say, oh, that sin is right. Oh, that sin is good. Oh, that sin is beautiful. Oh, we need to have more of that sin. That's not what it means. It means go and sin no more. And calling somebody, love is calling them away from these long-suffering, long-to-get hearts means we keep trying with sinners. One day God will judge the world with fire, as it says in 2 Peter 3:10. And sometimes this judgment happens, at least as far as we see it, a lot quicker, even with God, than we think. He's long-suffering. But if you remember Acts chapter 5, and this is just one example, I could bring all sorts of examples from Scripture, but it says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and he brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Well, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And if you know the rest of the story, Ananias' wife also came in. And Peter asked her the same question. And she fell dead like that too, just immediately. So you could say God judged them rather quickly, didn't he? They didn't hardly have any time to repent. They didn't have any time to say, oh, we're sorry. We didn't know that God could see our hearts and know that we only gave part of what we said we were giving. And they had lied to the Holy Spirit. And the circumstance was such in the church at that time. The Holy Spirit was powerful in that time. People were giving all they had to the church. And this is not saying that they had to give all. If they would only say, well, we're only giving half, they would have been all right. I believe they would have still been alive. And yet they lied and said they gave all when they're only giving a part of what they had. And God judges them quickly. And so we can't use long suffering as an automatic. That means we got 100 years to repent of our sin. It might only mean we have a week to repent of our sin. And love includes patience, long-suffering, and yet it also hates evil. Love suffers long, 1 Corinthians 13:4 says. But then 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. And then also Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And so when we love without hypocrisy. We abhor what is evil. That means we abhor it. It's almost the same as hate. We hate what is evil. That doesn't mean we hate people when they do evil. We hate the evil by trying to save them from that evil. When a man is running, and he's running hard, and he's running straight to this giant pit, and in this pit it's the fires of hell, and he's running this way, is it loving to come beside him and say, you're going great? I love how you run. Go faster, man. Keep going. When he's running to that pit of hell, it's not loving to tell him he's going great. The loving thing is to say, hey, man, you got to turn around. You're going the wrong way. If you keep going this way, you're going to go down in that fire. And when he says, what fire? You say, that fire that you're coming to. Your sin is driving you this way. It's going to put you in the wrong way. When a man has the keys and he's drunk, do you take those keys away? That's the loving thing to do. Or when he says, I can drive, you just let him do it because he's so confident that he can. Love means sometimes being long-suffering. And sometimes it means taking an action. Or saying some things that people might not immediately understand as being love, but in the end they will understand as being love. It's the fruit of the Spirit that keeps love and righteousness in this proper balance. It's not something that we do naturally. We naturally, by nature, born to be wild, like I said, by nature we're either too hot, and we get hot when it's just bothering us, or we're too soft, not hot enough. We tend to miss that perfect part that the Lord would have us to be. Thirdly, while long suffering slows down deserved wrath and justice, kindness is an expression of positive goodness. Kindness is a non-specific word. In Greek, kindness means a whole lot of different things. Somebody who does something good, somebody who says something good, someone who is good inside themselves and kind in their very heart so that they have an inclination. That's why I said in the beginning, the title is apt to bless. Meaning you have an aptitude or an inclination to be kind. No matter what the other person does, your aptitude is toward kindness. It's toward gentleness and goodness. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit does. And this also is something that we have because we're born again. First James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And then it says, Jesus says in Matthew 5:45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Good people, bad people, God rains on them. He gives them good things here on this earth. And we're supposed to be kind to everyone, to be peaceable with all men as much as we can, even sometimes when they're nasty to us. This makes kindness, and when I thought of it, this is talking about the general nature of it because it can be shown in so many different ways. It makes it a kind of fun fruit. When I thought of kindness as a fruit of the Spirit, I thought of the little lifesavers with all the different color fruits in it, and kindness just by itself is all these different colored fruits, because there's so many different ways we can be kind to one another. Harry Smalley writes about five love languages. He has maybe four or five different books where he talks about love languages. Love languages is for couples, love languages for friends, love languages for children. And yet all of them, I believe, I haven't read all the books, But all of them are the same five love languages. Physical touch, like giving somebody a hug. If you're married, it can be more than that. Words of encouragement. Telling somebody, hey, you're doing well. Not the guy who's running off the cliff, but somebody else you can tell, hey, keep going. You're doing well. Words of encouragement. Spending time. We show kindness by just being with somebody sometimes, especially when they're going through a really hard time. Giving gifts, buying somebody something or giving them money. Or works of service, coming and washing somebody's dishes or doing something like that when they can't do it or when they have difficulties. I could tell a lot of things, kind things that people have done for me here, but there's so many. If I told one, then somebody would say, why didn't you say this about me? me. Because everybody here, in one way or another, has done kind things. And about kindness, there can be then creativity too. Not all of us have money to give a lot of money to one another, but almost everybody can say a kind word or give a card or do this or do that. And we see that. I'm glad that's part of what we are as a congregation. We are very kind to one another. And this is what God calls us to. God has given us both talents and opportunities for kindness. The things that we enjoy can be blessings. Some are good cooks here, and some might be bakers, and you can bake a cake, and that can be part of your ministry in doing these things. Maybe you have a habit, the New Hope has this, they have a car care ministry, which they just started again. Some of them are skilled with taking care of cars, and they take care of cars for people who need help without charging them, at least the small parts of it. And anything that you can think of that you do can be part of this. That's why God uses this word, kindness, which is a very general word which covers a lot of things, but it's an action word. It's a gift-giving word. It's a speaking word. It's an outgoing word. And it talks about all those different things. The word, another related word to it in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And when it says we are His workmanship, the Greek word is poiema, which to me, I don't know if it's related to our word poem, but it sounds a lot like it when you think of it. And what it means is a masterpiece of God's creation. It means we were especially made by God, whoever we are. When we are His people, we've been made by Him. When Christ died for us, we were redeemed by Him. And we were redeemed for a purpose. We were made for a purpose. And that was we were created in Christ Jesus for good works prepared beforehand. That we should walk in Him, in them. Meaning God had a plan for us to do different good works. And these good works are things, not only are they good for us to do, we're called to do them, but God even rewards us for them. Special rewards we get for these good things. Not maybe here. Sometimes you do something good, and the person you do it for, maybe they don't even notice. Maybe they don't even know you did what you did for them. You were kind, you did this, you did that, but they don't see it. And yet God always notices. In Matthew 10:42, Jesus is speaking and He says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. What that means is that the littlest thing we do for one another or for a Christian in need, whatever kind thing we might do, He's told us in His Word, He will never forget it. Even the cup of cold water, and Erica brought me a cold water today, and I don't even appreciate it because I like it lukewarm when I'm drinking up here. But she's got her reward from heaven, even though she didn't get it from me. And it's that kind of thing. The smallest things that we probably even forget that we do when we are kind, even a kind word, a kind letter, a kind phone call, whatever we do, God is not going to forget that. And He credits us beyond what we deserve for the good things that we do, even though we might have sinful connections with it sometimes. Sometimes we do something for somebody and we want them to do something back for us. And that's not right either. But God will reward us when we do things for His sake. God's creative spirit, and this is the Holy Spirit that has this fruit, this creative fruit, long-suffering and kindness. In Genesis 1:2, the Spirit hovers over the water. He's looking to create. Exodus 35:30-33 talks of Bezalel. And he was given creative abilities to build the tabernacle. And he was able to teach the other people who helped him with the tabernacle. And God, by His Holy Spirit, gives us that creative kindness. The kindness that one person does here is not the same as the kindness that somebody else does. Chico has talent making little things that she gives to us for evangelism. And that's a talent that she has that I don't have. And one of us might have a talent that somebody else doesn't have. But we all have a talent that we can use in this way. Christ is our great example, too, of kindness. He showed the greatest kindness in giving up His life for our sins. And yet, even when they didn't really, 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 really need it desperately, at the wedding in Cana, He made water into wine for those people. It wasn't a need. It was a luxury at that situation. But He cared for them. And we care for each other in that way too. Sometimes we may sit with somebody who has lost a loved one, and we may be there at the most important time of their life. And then maybe another time we just bake cookies for a stranger who moved in next door. Or we just said a kind word to somebody. All those things are fruits of the Spirit. All those things are things that God notices and rewards when we do it for Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this passage. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. And we thank You that You've given us a different mind and a different heart and a different attitude because we are born again. And Father, the world doesn't understand this. And yet when we are converted, we should be different. We've seen people change. We've seen people who were mean and nasty, and You came to them and changed their heart, and they became kind. They became long-suffering. Or maybe they're easy on sin, and You took their hearts and made them concerned about sin. Because of where sin leads, it leads unto death. And Father, we pray You'd be with each of us. Father, our hearts by nature are not long-suffering and kind. Father, we're not typically like that. But by Your grace, by the new birth, and by the fruit of Your Spirit, we can be long-suffering and kind in a way that truly pleases You. Father, we pray You'd help us to be that way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.